You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Well, welcome back, folks. As you see, and as you have heard over the course of the last couple of weeks, after 2 decades in broadcast media, TPC has developed a deep bench, and we are bringing in the heavy hitters. We're bringing in everybody as a closer in our lineup the last couple of weeks.
And we're about to introduce Babe Ruth.
Exactly right. Indeed. Well, you've heard from Mark Weber and David Duke the last couple of weeks. And then, of course, Greg Johnson in the first hour tonight. Virginia Abernathy will be joining us in just a moment. But right now, Dr. Kevin McDonald, the retired professor of evolutionary psychology at California State University, Long Beach, is back with us. Kevin was with us in the flesh about a month ago tonight, we were there.
Walking into the batter's box and pointing at right center field.
he's going to knock it out of the park. He always does. That's why he is among our top three most interviewed guests of all time. Kevin, welcome back to the show tonight. Always an honor, always a pleasure. Wish it could be of a more fun topic tonight, but you know what we're here to discuss.
Hey, James, great to be here. I agree. It's a tough topic. A lot is unknown, really, for sure. But yeah, we can make some good guesses. And so,
well, let's do it. Let's do it. I mean, so here's the thing. I would say 80 to 90% of our audience, floor is 80, ceiling is 90, of the listening audience of this program voted for Trump in November. And I would say that many of our featured guests did so as well. I mean, you did, I did, Keith did, Greg did, Mark did. So I don't think we were played as fools. I think we looked at the best option that we had, and we set out to take what we could from the arrangement, a transactional arrangement. So let's start there, discussing the reality of this binary choice. I know my friend John down in Texas said, you know, you cannot vote. That's true, too, and I've certainly never voted for a Republican for president.
Let the excellent be the enemy of good.
All right. So, Kevin, exactly. How do you reconcile the decision-making process that led the majority of our movement to vote for Trump? You wrote a great piece this week in light of the present situation, Trump's big mistake. How are you processing? This is the question I asked of Greg Johnson the first hour. How are you processing all of this?
Well, I thought at the time that it was a big mistake, and I still do. But at the same time, you know, I have to see it from Trump's point of view. I think Israel and his... the Israel lobby type people here in America put so much pressure. What happened, I think, is Israel, and I'm not sure of this because you don't get any definitive reports in the media, but I do think Israel just took it upon themselves to do this attack. Now, they may have told Trump about it, but I don't think Trump wanted that. I think he wanted diplomacy. And certainly Israel did not want that. Israel wanted to attack. Israel really wants this to be one and done and over with. That this whole Middle
they
East
want to ramp up the clean break memorandum.
Exactly. They want to win it and you know they got Gaza completely genocided. They've taken out Hezbollah. They've taken out Hamas pretty much. And you know Iran is the other problem. And so. They attacked Trump then, I think, because it was seen as successful. Israel didn't suffer anything or much at that time. And he decided to go along. But I think even then, I think Trump wanted to be one and done. That is, that he would, go in there, make his attack, claim victory, which he has done, and go home, and then... you know, pick up the pieces afterwards, because I do think that Iran was Iran, you know, I think still has the capability, and that's the thing. And I know there's controversy about that. If you look at Steve Bannon and a bunch of people, they, conservatives, once again, it's a political issue. Like everything is, right? As soon as you have something like, did Trump succeed in this? Wow, people in the left, no, it didn't succeed. And there was this leaked state Defense Department report, and which doesn't have much credibility. But I saw something today that the Isfahan facility is like so far down that the U.S. bombs couldn't have gotten it. I don't know what you got to say, though, Kevin.
Kevin, one of the things that I see out of this, I see a lot more independence of thought and policy in Trump than I would under, let's say, George W. Bush.
Yeah, true. Very true. And I think Trump, you know, basically wants to be seen as a peacemaker. At the same time, you know, as much as I really did dislike this move, and I was very much on the side of conservatives like Tucker Carlson and Steve Bannon, who were very opposed to this. But then you had, you know, what Bannon calls Tel Aviv Levin, you know, Mark Levin. And, yeah, I mean, Mark Levin is just crazy.
He foams at the mouth.
Yeah, foaming at the mouth, screaming. And then you've got, Miriam Adelson, you've got other people.
Sean Hannity.
And Fox, in general, the Fox network. And what I'm hearing from people like Bannon is that, and I don't watch Fox anymore, I don't get it, but they're saying that Fox is all in for war. They're talking about boots on the ground and the whole thing. And, you know, Lindsey Graham would have a wet dream if the U.S. invaded Iran with boots on the ground.
I mean, that is a disturbing visual that comes up when you think about that.
We don't want to think about that. I'm sorry.
No, very true.
But, you know, it's a bad, you know, and these people, these neocons in Washington are still around. We have to realize that. And Trump, we thought we got rid of them, basically, but they're still there, and they're still alive and kicking and influential. And
I wonder what part Victoria Nuland is playing in all this.
Yeah, she's not in the State Department, but she's out there, and you still got you got John Ratcliffe, who apparently is quite gung-ho pro-Israel. The guy who's head of the CIA, is that what it is?
It's a golden path to fame and fortune.
Yeah, and I noticed that they're keeping Tulsi Gabbard out of the loop, basically. And so you wonder, she really is a peace person. And I thought J.D. Vance was. But I think J.D. Vance
made a great comment. Did you hear his comment? He said, wanted to assure the Iranian people. He said, look, we did not target any civilian populations with this bombing and whatnot, and we did that on purpose.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's true. That's been a refrain from Trump from the beginning. You know, we're not, you know, and even Israel. And Netanyahu says that. You know, I mean, he would love to kill as many Iranians as he could, but he says we're not against the Iranian people. We want to uprising against this horrible regime. But
Trump dropped the F-bomb this week.
We're going to play that when we come back. I think we must. That was the question I asked of Greg, Kevin, in the first hour, is do you believe, I mean, all right, nobody knows. Your opinion. Is Trump completely bought and paid for, owned and operated by Jewish influence and power?
Is he asserting independence?
Or is he exasperated by them to an extent with regards to this foreign policy misadventure?
I think he's been exasperated, frankly, but I think he doesn't feel he has a choice but to go along with it. But I think, as I said, he wants to do one and done. He doesn't want to have a prolonged war. He doesn't want boots on the ground. He wants to do this thing and claim it's totally obliterated. We did our job. They can't do any nukes for a very, very long time, if ever. And also, you know, Trump is also relaxing sanctions on oil to China. And I think he wants to do a little, you know, carrot and stick thing. And I really do think that, that he, why he does not, you know, he set his whole career. He's opposed to these wars. And so that was a shock to me in a way that he did this.
Well, I mean, he has this coalition. Jews have been a part of it. I mean, a lot of Jewish funding. But, again, there is no consensus even in our own ranks as to what extent he is beholden to them versus what his true feelings are. But it's as Greg said in the first hour, now there's even reports coming out that he's going to reinvest in Iran. I mean, it's just the most bizarre thing I've ever covered.
I think he realizes that trying to take out Iran was a bridge too far. And it's
but you're not going to do it. I mean, it's almost half the size. Iran is almost half the size of the United States. It's three times the size of Texas. Israel's the size of New Jersey. And that Iron Dome is fake news. So this whole thing got recalibrated pretty quick. Hey, listen, when we come back, Kevin's still with us for the remainder of the hour. We're going to pair him.
Antelope Hill Publishing is America's top publisher of the books the other guys are too afraid to touch, providing you with the information you need to challenge the status quo. Whether your interests are contemporary dissident politics, history that would otherwise be censored, philosophy, or exciting novels from talented new authors, you'll find plenty to love. The Antelope Hill catalog includes books you won't find anywhere else, such as Paleface, The Philosophy of the Melting Pot, which criticizes white self-hatred, The 60-Year Caucasian War, and other books about Russian history and politics, The Sword of Christ, which argues for restoring Christianity as the foundation of the West and combating heresies like Christian Zionism, books on the Spanish Civil War, speeches by Mussolini and other historical figures, original translations of previously unavailable 20th century works, and much more. With new titles added every month, there's no doubt that Antelope Hill Publishing will have something for everyone, even children. These books will enhance your personal library, and they also make great gifts. So be sure to check out the complete catalog at AntelopeHillPublishing.com. Order online today at AntelopeHillPublishing.com.
Experience the untamed spirit of the American West with Range Magazine. Each issue is a visual journey featuring award-winning photography and compelling stories that capture the heart of ranching and rural life. Stay informed on the challenges and triumphs of those who live and work on the land. Subscribe today and receive quarterly editions delivered to your doorstep. And join a community that cherishes the enduring legacy of the Western frontier. Visit rangemagazine.com to subscribe.
Are you ready to stand up for your community and support your local sheriff? Join the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association and become a vital member of the Sheriff's Citizens Posse. At CSPOA.org, we empower citizens like you through weekly webinars, arming you with the knowledge to back your constitutional county sheriff. Together, we can uphold our Constitution and ensure liberty and justice for all. Your community needs you now more than ever.
Yeah, I do. They violated it, but Israel violated it too.
Are you questioning if Israel is committed?
Israel, as soon as we made the deal, they came out and they dropped a load of bombs, the likes of which I'd never seen before. The biggest load that we've seen. I'm not happy with Israel. You know, when I say, okay, now you have 12 hours, you don't go out in the first hour and just drop everything you have on them. So I'm not happy with them. I'm not happy with Iran either. But I'm really unhappy if Israel's going out this morning because of one rocket that didn't land, that was shot, perhaps by mistake, that didn't land. I'm not happy about that. You know what? We basically have two countries that have been fighting so long and so hard that they don't know what the fuck they're doing. Do you understand that?
So, I mean, that seems sincere to me. I mean, I know he's in TV. He could be acting, but we'll get the take now. I got people a lot. You know, that has been my brilliance in all these years, 21 years in radio. You get people a lot smarter than you as guests, and they make you look good. And that's what we've been doing, and that's what we're doing tonight. Dr. Kevin McDonald, the doctors are in. Dr. Greg Johnson, the first hour. Kevin McDonald.
Surgery is about to begin.
Dr. Virginia Abernathy now joining us in progress as she will join Kevin and Tandem for this joint appearance for the remainder of the hour. Dr. Virginia Abernathy, of course, is a professor emerita of psychiatry at Vanderbilt University School of Medicine, and I actually have known Virginia longer than anybody, longer than you. I met Virginia.
She had a lot to do at Vanderbilt because there are plenty of crazy people.
Well, I met Virginia in 2000 on the Buchanan campaign. I've known her longer than any of the other people in this cause that I work with. And Virginia, I have been very thankful for the last quarter of a century of our collaborations. I remember that organizing meeting of the Tennessee Reform Party in the early months of 2000, and you were there and I were there, and the rest is history. And we're still here together, and that means a lot to me. It's great to have you back tonight.
It is. Thank you very much, Dan. Well, I remember that campaign, too. I remember.
It was wonderful. Go ahead. Please talk about it.
Yes. Well, go ahead. That's not your subject tonight. I'd love to talk about Buchanan sometime. But now, on to Iran and Israel.
Okay. Well, madam, your wish is my command, and we should have that conversation, and we will. We will do it. All right, you came down very hard on Trump, and deservingly so, in light of the actions, and we are talking about this and processing it. Things have changed since the original email you sent out. I mean, now we're at this apparent ceasefire. This is the question I've asked of all of our guests. Kevin is with us live. He will continue this conversation with you, Greg, in the first hour. How are you processing all of these things as we sit here this June 28th?
Are you speaking to me or?
Yeah.
Kevin?
No, that question is to you. To you, Virginia. Yeah. How are you processing these things? Your reaction to all of this?
I think, above all, I'm just insulted that the United States is being led around by the nose by Israel, and it's a nasty little country. They do genocide. They have killed hundreds of thousands of Palestinians, and I am outraged. It's very hard to forgive Trump. Now he's kind of being mealy-mouthed and pretending to be the peacemaker between Iran and Israel, but I think it was unforgivable for him to ever bomb Iran. What have they done to hurt us? I don't care what they've done to hurt other people. What have they done to hurt us?
But they've been doing this for a long time, Elizabeth. You know, think of all the presidents that have bended the knee to Israel. Basically since Woodrow Wilson.
All right. But Virginia brings up a great point. But this is the question, Virginia. In your opinion, and I asked this of Greg in the first hour and Mark Weber last week, does this erase the gains that the Trump administration has delivered to people like us, in your opinion?
And no one else would do it.
But I think that Trump is such a mixed bag, and he's trying, but he's got to assert his independence. Otherwise, people like me are going to wonder, are the Israelis and the Jews in this United States who are Zionists? And that is not every Jew, but that is a lot of the Jews who are Zionists. Do they have something on him? Are they blackmailing him?
Yes,
I think
great question.
They have it on every other president, too.
Kevin, Virginia, you open up a whole other can of worms, and that is something that should be discussed. Kevin, what I would want to do when we have such talent as the esteemed guest tonight, Dr. Kevin McDonald and Dr. Virginia Abernethy, on together at the same time in tandem. Kevin, I just want to turn the balance of this segment over to you and Virginia. Respond to anything that you heard her say that piqued your interest, and the two of you just have a conversation about this topic, and Keith and I will sag back for a moment. Kevin, to you in Virginia. Take it away, Kevin.
Yeah, I do think that Trump basically caved into Israel, that Netanyahu was extremely aggressive, that he went in there, he attacked, and that Trump had to make a choice. I don't think he really wanted this, but he certainly went along with it. And, it's sad to see the power of the Israel lobby in Washington is certainly there. Fox News is screaming about it, and even a lot of people on the left are. He was under incredible pressure to do this, but he could have said no. And some people like you see, Bannon thinks that it could destroy the whole MAGA movement.
But 30 years ago, Kevin, it was Pat Buchanan that said that Washington D.C. is Zionist occupied territory.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is. And it still is. Congress is very much under control. But I do think that Trump would like to see himself as a peacemaker, that he's a long way off from that now. And I do think that you know, if in fact these nuclear facilities have not been completely destroyed, I don't think they have, Israel is going to want to attack again. Because Netanyahu, this is an obsession with him. Going back 30 years, he's been lying about it. Israel will be itching to attack as soon as they find any evidence. And I think they can easily do that. And there are, you know, false flags and false intelligence and everything. They can do that. So I worry about that Israel's not done.
That's a great point as well. So, Virginia, to you on that point, and that is, I mean, it's hard to argue. It would be a difficult position for you to argue that Israel won a substantial victory in that 12-day period that accomplished their objective. So, in your opinion, my friend, where does this go from here, Virginia, that question to you?
Well, I think that we as a country should back off from peacemaking. Who are we to tell other countries to make peace? Forget it. We're one country. We need to pay attention to ourselves. I think I'm an isolationist in the very old school, maybe Calvin Coolidge. And I don't
Charles
like
Lindbergh.
The peace. I beg your pardon?
I said Charles Lindbergh.
Oh, Charles Lindbergh, for sure. Absolutely.
You're here.
I think I don't want to be a peacemaker. I don't want to make war. I am appalled.
You're like Greta Garbo. You want to be left alone.
Yeah. In my own little mountaintop. I absolutely want that.
You've got it. And by the way, I must admit, and I've said this before, nobody makes a better quiche than Virginia Abernathy. I've been atop her. You know, Eagle's Nest, if you will. She does live on top of a mountain. It's a steep drive up there, and it's an incredible place and an incredible friendship. Virginia, we have a couple of minutes left this segment. Converse between you and Kevin. Is there anything you would like to ask Kevin, his opinion on this or that, or just an observation you'd like to share with him? Take it away.
Well, I have a lot of respect for Kevin, and I think he is much more I'm not going to say even-minded, but perhaps more restrained than I am. Kevin, be rational for a minute. Just cool me.
I know that's against your role.
Go ahead, Virginia, please.
I can certainly see, you know, the argument that this is not affecting us. Whatever it goes on between Iran and Israel does not directly affect us. The fact is that it's sort of inconceivable at this point in a foreign policy situation we were in, established with Washington and all that you can just sort of ignore all that completely. But I agree that Israel could not achieve its objectives by itself. It just couldn't. And so it would have to come down to bunker-busting bombs. And even that, apparently, was not enough with the Isfahan plant.
Talk about the tail wagging the dog.
Yeah, the tail wags the dog. They are not our ally. I mean, they compromise their interests all the time. And this is a good example. And, just Trump feels he's got to do something.
I'm glad you said that. Israel is not our ally. And why?
No, it's not.
Well, the media are absolutely controlled. They keep talking about our ally Israel. Not so.
Amen.
No. They've not been our ally.
We're just cheering and applauding. And amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead.
And then they're powering the United States. Their power in the United States is not based on ideas. It's based on power. You're raw. Buying off legislators, punishing anyone who gets in their way. It's brutal out there. You know, Thomas Massey, talking about how AIPAC, monitors every congressman. And
did you hear what he said? Somebody asked him this weekend, what do we get from our friendship with Israel? He said, well, a lot of Muslim countries hate us.
Exactly.
That's right.
I got
right.
We're going to a quick break. My friends, the esteemed doctors McDonald and Abernathy, back with us in a flash. Stay tuned.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. In the Senate at this hour, lawmakers taking a key procedural vote, that to see if they will begin debating President Trump's big, beautiful bill. Senate Majority Leader John Thune says even as Republicans hope to pass their version of the BBB this weekend, he's been keeping in close contact with House Speaker Mike Johnson.
You know, we want to make sure that we're all rowing in the same direction and that we produce a bill in the Senate that hopefully the House can take up and pass and put on the president's desk.
Well, President Trump, meanwhile, staying in Washington.
As congressional Republicans race to finalize the president's tax and spending cut bill, the president is staying at the White House this weekend to help get it across the finish line.
We'll deliver a record tax cut, a record spending cut, a record investment in border security.
Over the past week, GOP senators have been working through a list of difficult issues, including Medicaid health care cuts. They need those reductions in order to pay for tax breaks. Greg Clugston, the White House.
Foreign policy expert Dan Senor says since it launched the October 7th Hamas attack in 2023, Iran now finds itself with no conventional military force it can use against the Israelis.
It's relied on a proxy system of all these proxies, Hezbollah, the Houthis, Hamas, satellite states like the Assad regime in Syria. All of those are gone or severely weakened.
In the meantime, the IDF says it has killed one of the founders of Hamas. Haqqam Muhammad Issa al-Issa has been taken out in an airstrike. He was the so-called orchestrator of the October 7th attack. Trouble is brewing in Southeast Asia, Thailand, and Cambodia at odds over a recent border dispute that killed a Cambodian soldier. This is SRN News.
Summer is all about making great memories. Boy, I love getting out on the boat. I admit that one of my little joys in life is to get on a boat and ride around on Tampa Bay. But if you're living with pain, those future memories can be stolen from you. Here's a thought. Try Relief Factor. Let's see if we can get you out of pain. Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free daily supplement designed to help your body fight pain. It's a doctor-developed formula made of natural ingredients. The best part of all, Relief Factor never masks the pain. It helps reduce or even eliminate it for good. Whether it's doing what I do, whether it's kayaking on a lake, running around with the little ones, or just chilling in the hammock with a good book, Relief Factor can help you feel better, move better, and do more of the things you love all summer long. So if you're ready to reclaim your summer and make some amazing memories, head over to ReliefFactor.com or give them a call at 800-4-RELIEF, 800-4-RELIEF. Do it now and get their 3-week quick start for just $19.95. That number again, 1-800-4-RELIEF, 800-4-RELIEF. Fight pain naturally with Relief Factor.
Marxists are the sworn enemy of Western civilization. Karl Marx crafted his communist ideology with the genocidal goal of destroying the European peoples. Key concepts of communism are atheism and materialism, that God and spirit do not exist. Germany was smashed at the end of World War II, and communism emerged triumphant. By controlling the political system, courts, mass media, educational system, and entertainment industries, Marxists have imposed a tyrannical, top-down agenda of globalism and immoralization on the West. The results are open borders, rampant crime, institutionalized corruption, sexual perversion, the destruction of the middle class, concentration of wealth, aimless youth with no purpose in life, and the hollowing out of Christianity. But Kyle McDermott's book, The Declaration of White Independence, demonstrates how we can unshackle our people from the communist ideology and obliterate atheism and materialism. The Declaration of White Independence is available at Dixie Republic. For more information, go to DixieRepublic.com. Get your copy of Kyle McDermott's Declaration of White Independence at DixieRepublic.com.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs. While you're waiting, drop by our Confederate Corner for a free cup of coffee and good conversation. Remember, there are no strangers here, just friends who haven't met yet. Dixie Republic, we're not just a roadside attraction, we're a destination for our people. For more information, visit DixieRepublic.com.
You've also said that Congress is an Israeli-occupied territory. Now, what do you mean by that?
What I meant by that is the most powerful lobby in Washington, which Congress can't stand up to, one of the most powerful, is certainly the pro-Israeli lobby. It has gotten its way in this town year in and year out. And I don't think the automatic votes of the Congress of the United States for $3 and $4 billion worth of aid to Israel are necessarily in the national interest of the United States. And that comment, which is to ridicule the subservience of the Congress of the United States, is perfectly valid.
The first bill that I'm going to bring to this floor.
All right, so there you heard it, and that is the man, Virginia, who, if I may be so familiar with you, Dr. Abernathy, my friend, that is the man who brought us together a quarter of a century ago. And
Moses of our movement.
He may see the promised land if he cannot traverse it. We will get there for him. He's 86 now. But all right, so here's the thing. We can't allow ourselves to become so emotional in this moment that we lose sight of the bigger picture. And it has been amazing, my friends, to see even the likes of Steve Bannon and Charlie Kirk visibly distancing themselves from Israel and making clear distinctions between our interest and theirs. This is good. Tucker Carlson has been on fire lately. Marjorie Taylor Greene, Thomas Massie, these are sitting congressmen. These are good signs of things that are happening and things to come. Give and takes, ups and downs. This is a war for our civilization. It's going to be bumpy ride.
Well, we're hearing for the first time that there are people of consequence that have a dissenting voice to the Amen Corner Vision.
That is what has changed. So this is, we were talking during the break. Virginia, this is something that you wanted to bring up. I'll toss it back to you and Kevin now. Your thoughts on Congress, Israel, trends, etc.
Well, if you want me to start, fine. I have known congressmen who found their control by the Zionist lobby to be so distasteful that it actually led them to give up being a congressman. They did not run again. One in particular, and I'm just sorry, but it was 20 years ago that I heard him speak. He said he was forced to make a pilgrimage to Israel, as every congressman sometime during his first term in office is forced to make a pilgrimage to Israel. Yeah. Well, this is not an easy thing for any man or woman to experience and maintain self-respect. I think right. Our Congress people lose self-respect because they know they are controlled.
Kiss
so I feel
God
very sorry
dream.
For them.
Kevin, to you on that. Go, Kevin.
Yeah, this is a big issue. Just recently, in this last election cycle, AIPAC, the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, they basically got rid of two congressmen, Cori Bush from Missouri and Jamal Bowman from New York, and because they were critical of Israel, they spent $25 million, which was way more than their people that they were, which is
targeting.
Way more than Cori and Jamal had, and they won those two so. This is a shot across the bow. Every Democrat, every Republican knows, if they do this, there's going to be a huge pile of money. And actually, this goes back to the 1980s. Charles Percy from Illinois, Paul Findlay wrote a book around 1990, I think, as I've cited it. He was totally nailed by the Israel lobby. And so this has been going on a long time, and it will continue. But it just shows the Israel lobby succeeds not because of the power of their ideas, because Israel is such a wonderful country. It's pure, raw, naked power politics and money.
And money.
That's the problem. Yeah, money, and that's the problem with the democracy. He who has the money has so much influence, and it's hard to prevent that. And one of my hopes is that, you know, because you have people like Elon Musk who are not Jewish, who are, you know, super, super wealthy, that we could get people in there. We can fund people who have their heads screwed on right, and can combat this. Because $25 million to Musk is like pocket change, so he could do
Like a country lawyer from Mississippi told me one time, money's honey, sonny, and a rich man's jokes are always funny.
And I'm laughing now, Keith. Thank you. Well, wait, let me ask you, my esteemed guests. Thank you, Keith. Again, I do believe that, I know it's hard to believe it if you just look at what just happened, but I believe that Jewish power and influence is in its waning stage, and nobody...
At least temporarily.
No, not temporarily. It'll be temporarily in so much as this current ceasefire, and it may flare back up in the coming days. I mean, that could certainly happen. But the...
People are rising up.
The forthcoming generations, my friends, are, even amongst evangelical Christians, fundamentalist Christians, as you mentioned earlier, Keith, are not in favor of this Zionist experiment. And, I would ask you this, Virginia. I mean, your take on the fact that New York City, per capita, the most Jewish city in America, just elected a Muhammad as, you know, its mayor.
And the Jewish population is going haywire.
Or, you know, it's this mayoral, candidate or nominee or whatever, Zoran, how do you reconcile that? I mean, what is happening? I mean, this whole thing is just surreal.
It's about to jump the tracks.
Well, it could be that the black population has finally shaken themselves loose from Jewish control. It was long ago, I think it was 1911 or something like that, that the Jews started to assert black power, because the Jews could exert so much influence and power by pretending that it was really blacks that they championed. But
black for their golem.
It was just they were the running boy, actually. I think the blacks have figured that out, and that's why we see a change in New York.
It'd be great, Kevin, if they had.
Yeah, Kevin, comment on the situation in New York, that this Jewish city, it could, because a lot of the Jews, you know, these are the people in the Ivy League universities that are protesting against what's happening in Gaza.
And they're there because of Jewish power and influence. That's so ironic.
Kevin, I mean, you literally wrote the book on Jewish evolutionary behavior. What do you make of everything that's happening? I mean, it's hard to put into words.
Yeah, I think that things are changing. I mean, Tucker Carlson has had people on very critical. He's had Thomas Massie on, for example. He's had people, you're really going off in the neocons. And so I do think Steve Bannon's the same way, and, you know, sort of mainstream conservatives. And the fact is that, as I wrote about in that paper on this new, possible new elite, you know, we have enough money. At some point, Trump or some politician is going to say, we don't really need them anymore. And we can fund our own people and just do it. And I think Gaza has really hurt the Jewish image. I mean, they're just slaughtering people, and they're continuing to do it.
I think Netanyahu is behind all of that, and I think Netanyahu is the worst thing that has happened to the Israelis.
Well, I mean, this the thing Sam Dixon always brings up is that, I mean, he brings up the Greek maxim that, you know, you are blessed to be able to see yourself the way others see you. The Jews have never received that gift. They don't see themselves the way the rest of the world sees them, and it could be their downfall.
It could be, and let's hope that it is.
Well, Virginia, because, I'll ask you this. I mean, Virginia, do you...
Among Jews. I think there's a lot of self-perception among Jews.
Exactly.
It's almost like they can't imagine criticisms of themselves. And they immediately, if you criticize them, that means, oh, it's envy, it's this and that and the other thing. But, you know, that's the reality, is that they don't see themselves as others see us. And I think people, you know, Jewish ethics, you think, what's going on with Jewish ethics? They're just murdering. Like
they're very principle. Their principle is it good for the Jews?
Well, and that should be our principle. Is it good for our people? I've always said that. You can never be a hypocrite if you base your decision on is it good for our people. But Virginia, I would ask you this very quickly before the break. Then we'll come back to both of you. Do you believe that this entire, you know, last month of activity could backfire on the Zionist experience in the Middle East?
I think that they will get rid of Netanyahu and shed. And when they get rid of him, they'll say, okay, now we have cleaned up. And now you can trust us again. Now we're your ally again. So I think Netanyahu is going to be sacrificed by them. He won't like it, but who cares? One man, you know, they're willing to do that. They're willing to die so long as everybody else dies, and they will sacrifice Netanyahu.
Yes.
And that will be it.
That's exactly what we're going to come back with. One more segment with two iconic guests. Two people who have basically been part of the DNA of this program from its inception. Kevin McDonald.
Hey there, TPC family.
Stay tuned.
This is James Edwards, your host of the Political Cesspool. Folks, I want you to subscribe to the American Free Press, America's last real newspaper. Against all odds, AFP has and continues to publish a populist, independent print newspaper with an unparalleled track record. Founded by a dedicated group of experienced patriots, AFP pulls no punches and tackles the most controversial and pressing issues facing America from an America First perspective. I've worked with the American Free Press since even before the beginning of TPC. Now that's something. You can subscribe to the print edition by visiting AmericanFreePress.net today or simply pick up a handy digital edition subscription. However you do it, subscribe to the American Free Press, America's last real newspaper, by visiting AmericanFreePress.net or by calling 1-888-699-NEWS, AmericanFreePress.net.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody ever having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt. And there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
That was over, guys.
No!
It's over. I saw it on television.
I'm going to have to sell my house.
The war's not over.
No, the war isn't over.
I saw it on TV.
No, this is what they hired me for.
No, the war isn't over till I say it's over. Okay, this is my picture.
So this is the movie Wag the Dog. Dustin Hoffman, Robert De Niro. Great movie. Please watch it. You can relate it to our current misadventure. However you like.
It's America and Israel is certainly a wag the dog phenomenon if there was one.
Indeed. Well, hey, let me tell you something. Our guest tonight, this hour, Dr. Kevin McDonald, Dr. Virginia Abernathy, longtime friends. So many appearances over the years. This is their first together. I have a copy here in the studio of Virginia's autobiography, Born Abroad, a signed copy, no less, and we're thankful for that. Kevin has a new book coming out. It's an update on his seminal Culture of Critique series, and that'll be coming out from Antelope Hill Publishing very soon. And as a matter of fact, Taylor Young from AHP will be with us in the third hour, so stay tuned for that. But again, here we are now, my friends, and with one segment remaining. Again, I would be committing broadcasting malpractice not to turn this over to you to the extent that I can. Kevin, you and Virginia on together. You know, we just lost Z-Man, and it's a terrible thing. Nobody knows how long any of us will be here, but we are here tonight and we are here for this segment. What would you like to say to Virginia and vice versa as we continue this conversation? Kevin, to you.
Well, I do think that Israel is sort of beyond hope. I think that the sort of racialist, anti-Palestinian right is in control and will be. I mean, you got politicians like Smotrich and Ben-Gvir, they're Kahanists. They believe in the expulsion of Palestinians. They, their divine right. And the fact is that the settler movement is extremely powerful. They're in the government. They're not going anywhere, and they are extremely aggressive. I mean, they've run the Palestinians off the farms and stuff. They've herded them into the cities like Hebron, and that sort of thing. They've just without any compunctions, without any penalties, they've attacked them. They've burned their.
They're trying to run them out, and if they don't run them out, they're going to kill them.
They're going to kill them. And just today, Netanyahu's been apparently been saying, Gaza is going to be ours, and then they're going to degrade Gaza, expel whoever's left, and take it over, and so that's going to be theirs. And this is like the Old Testament. This is the book of Joshua all over again. Kill every man, woman, child, and animal.
The Amalekites.
I mean, it's Old Testament justice, and they're still in that mindset.
Well, I have the. I was just going to say, Virginia, as I toss it over to you, I have a comment here from a listener in New York. I have a crush on Virginia, he writes. Well, if you ever tasted her food, you'd be in love with her. But Virginia, I have. Virginia, back to you. How would you like to respond to Kevin?
I think people should remember how Israel came to be. It was through terrorism. They terrorized the indigenous people on that land, but they also terrorized the British government. The British
King David Hotel.
Yes, exactly. Please talk about that for a minute. Any
King
details
David Hotel
know?
Was where all of the foreigners, particularly the Europeans, and particularly among the Europeans, the British, hung out in Jerusalem.
He's got a Union Jack on his polo shirt tonight here in the studio. I see it.
Yeah, my mother's English. She died this past week, God rest her soul. But anyway, at age 98. But anyway, it was Rahm Emanuel's father who was the head of the Irgun at the time, and he put dynamite in kegs of nails and set them off, killed 120 people. It was basically trying to maximize the death count. And this is the type of tactics they followed from the very beginning.
Well, this is the thing, my friends. Yeah. I mean, let's just get real here. No permanent solution is going to be had until you deal with the Jewish question. And so this is the question to you, Virginia, is can this, and I think I asked this earlier, but I'd like for you to take a little more time on it. Can this thing, or do you believe that this most recent event can backfire on them and lead to another ratcheting down on their rung on the ladder?
Well, it might, but I'm not betting on it because of the immense money they have and the way they are able to mobilize guilt. We are too susceptible to becoming guilty, to letting people make us feel guilty. Now, I think this is a problem that many Christians have, which is to feel guilty. And I want to distinguish guilt from shame. Shame is when you did something wrong and you got caught. Guilt is an internal and very, very, very self-destructive.
What is called? Yeah, it's called gaslighting. Remember the movie Gaslight in 1944?
Yes. Charles Boyer.
Angela Lansbury.
And Ingrid Bergman. It's making, that's what happened to the South in the Civil Rights Movement, making you feel guilt about something you should feel no guilt
okay,
about.
But this is, I'm so glad, Keith, you and Virginia touched on this. Kevin, to you, the question, I mean, but is this dying out? Is this dying out with the present generation? I don't see teenagers and people in their early 20s wringing their hands with guilt the way that older people are about these things. And if that is the case, yeah. if that remains the case, that's going to be a game changer.
But that's my impression of what happened in New York, that it's young people that really, you know, voted against, they didn't do what everybody thought they'd do, vote for Cuomo. And they voted for this Muslim guy. And the Jews are definitely wringing their hands about this. This is horrible. And I think they are going to try to do something like another candidate, like maybe even Eric Adams. I don't know. But, it's hard to see how they can try to induce guilt in other people when what they've done in Gaza. And it's all over the newspapers and the TV and everything else. Everybody knows about it. It's just absolutely brutal what they've done. And these people are defenseless. So I think, we talked about some of this. You know, some people in the mainstream conservative movement are criticizing the Israel lobby, going after neocons. And again, Tucker Carlson, Steve Bannon, and people like that really were opposed to any kind of intervention over there on the part of the U.S. I know Tucker was horrified by it, but... I think things are changing, and again, do we have enough money? The fact is that the old legacy media is collapsing in influence. CNN, who cares? New York Times, who cares? You know, if you read the New York Times, and I do, I mean, every day they've got like 10 different anti-Trump things, but it didn't make
any difference.
It's not
changing anything. He still got elected.
You're a glutton for punishment, Kevin.
He still got elected. I mean, that's the thing.
He still got elected.
Well, here's the thing. This is it. I believe it's changing. I do believe it's changing. I almost believe, Virginia, that this may have been a last gasp attempt for Israel to swing this thing in a demonstrable way. I do believe things are changing. They will continue to change. They will continue to change in our favor. Am I naive? I don't think so. I've suffered every setback.
Like Frankenstein's monster, they keep coming back.
Well, I get it. They'll try. But Virginia, with a minute remaining, the final word is to you.
They are changing, but the ultimate Jewish threat is the Samson option.
Talk about that.
You bring down the temple and kill yourself. But everybody else is going to go with you. And that's the Samson option. And that's the ultimate Jewish threat to everybody.
And they've got missiles directed right in L.A. and New York, too.
That would be a shame to lose those two cities, but but seriously, all kidding aside, no. This was actually a comment that came in. Virginia, thank you for bringing that up. They have the Samson option, and they've threatened it. If they go, we go, and it's pointed not just to the United States but Europe as well. Kevin, a comment on that. The music begins to play.
Yeah, I think that they would do that. They absolutely would. The fact is that there's this aggressive streak in Jews, and I don't think they can be happy just with the land of Israel. They're always going to be expansive.
That's just a little place. That's a safe haven for them when they wear out their welcome somewhere else.
They always wear out their welcome. They're quite aware of that. And Israel is a safety valve, and you know it could disappear. I mean, there's just a lot. They've unleashed incredible hatred over there.
Every nation except America, really. I mean, they control some of Western Europe as well. But this is something. Hey, all capital letters. Listen to this woman. 1, 2, 3, 4 exclamation points. Virginia for Queen. Virginia, you've made a profound impression on our audience tonight. Kevin, as you always do, of course, you as well. What an honor it is to be able to call you both friends and colleagues and compatriots, and to have you both together tonight on the radio. A real treat, even after all these years, to have you together. I'll remember this show. God bless
you
both.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you, Virginia. Thank you.
as usual, great job, Jim and Alex.
Guys, take care. Keep the faith.
He's got an Ole Miss hat on. He's got a UK Union Jack shirt on. Some seersucker shorts. It's Keith Alexander. Virginia Hammerhead, the Kevin McDonald. I'm James Edwards. We'll be back with the third hour. Thank you both, my friends. Bye.